Number two, Light Revealing God, Psalm 19 by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract, a discussion of Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. What are the heavenly lights telling us about God? Our passage is Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. Looks like this in the NIV. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens, makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its feet. Well, what is this passage saying? Well, let's first think about who is acting. We see the heavens are declaring, and the skies, or the expanse, is proclaiming, and day is pouring forth speech. In the Hebrew, one day is pouring forth speech to another, and the night is displaying knowledge, and again the Hebrew, one night is displaying knowledge to another. And we see the sun coming forth, rising, running, circling. So, that's who's acting. What are they telling? Well, they're telling us about God's glory. Well, glory is a term that we perhaps do not use a whole lot except in religious circles these days. But glory in Hebrew meant the weight or importance of someone or something. So God's glory is telling us about his importance. In the New Testament, the term with a similar meaning is something about shining, etc., but also has the idea of God's importance. And either of these terms then also tell us something that is distinctive about God's nature. What are they telling about? They're telling about his handiwork and the work of his hands, the NIV translates it. Well, when we go to a craft fair or something like that, or go to an art gallery, we learn something about the craftsman's skill and his creativity and his ability by means of the work that he has done. They're also telling us knowledge about God, we are told. Well, then the question is, who is being told? And one day is telling it to another day, one night is telling it to another night, so every day and every night is being told, if you like. And throughout the earth, it is being told. And to the ends of the world, it is being told. From one end of heaven to another, it's being told. There's nothing hidden from all this. So, the message is available to everyone. Well, how are they telling? Are they speaking? You might get that idea because the passage is certainly using the terms for human speech, but appear to be using them analogously. I would say no, they're not speaking. One translation has it in the verse, they have no speech, there are no words, no sound is heard from them, and I think that's probably correct. And so basically the idea is they are telling us in a way that transcends speech, if you like. We might think of an illustration of signaling with light. These lights in the sky are signaling to us with light. We can think about that as particularly was done before the invention of radio with flags and signal lights and things like that. So when I was in Boy Scouts, we learned a little something about signaling with flashlights and theoretically about signaling with mirrors. I never got much competence in that. And the U.S. Navy, and the British Navy and such, before the time of radio, signaled with signal flags and with signal lamps, etc. So, again, signaling by means of light. So, how do they tell us about God's existence? Well, our passage doesn't say. There have been some suggestions. The regularity of the movements of the objects in the sky imply something about order. And careful observers of the stars would have known a great deal about that in antiquity, and even the average person who looked at the sky much would know something about that. And their complexity of movement, particularly the movement of the planets among the stars, was pretty complicated and would suggest something about wisdom. So the idea of a wise creator was an idea that was known even in ancient times and over a wide range of different cultures, if you like. More recently, we see that the stars are telling us something about the running down of the universe, that they're using up their fuel, the entropy of the universe is increasing, etc., and that implies that the universe had a beginning, so implies what we might think of as a beginner or a starter or an initiator, etc. This is a more recent argument, but a rather powerful one. We discuss some of these things in other of our PowerPoint talks. Well, that's a quick tour here of this passage. Our conclusions: God is using the sky to tell us something about his glory and his handiwork. And it's very easy for people to live as though God doesn't exist, but it's a rather foolish thing to do. An illustration, let me give you this one of the farmer's plane ride. We think back to the days when airplanes often had double wings like this in the open cabin, right after World War I, and barnstormers flew around the U.S. and would come to county fairs and state fairs and things of that sort, and would offer rides to people for a price, typically. But here at this one fair, nobody seems to be going, and so the pilot offers to take one farmer along free. And the farmer can't pass up the deal, although he's rather scared otherwise. And so he gets in the plane, and he and the pilot take off and do a couple loop-a-loops and come back down and land. And the pilot says to the farmer, "Well, how did you like it?" And the farmer says, "Well, I never did let go of the sides. Had to hold myself up, etc." And rather humorous, but our question is, what really holds the farmer up? Does his white-knuckle grip of the sides of the plane hold him up? Well, it probably helps hold him into the plane. I don't know what kind of seat belts they might have had at that point. But what holds him up is the wings and the way in which they interact with the air to give the plane lift, etc. That's what holds the farmer up. Well, we often live as though God doesn't exist, but God is our very one who is holding us in existence and giving us all the good things we have. So it's very foolish to live as though God does not exist. Well, that's the end of this brief talk, and I pray that the Lord might help you to see that the heavens are telling us something, that light is revealing God, and that we need to know him, and we need to know that he exists, and that he wants us to do something worthwhile with our life, and to do that we need to get to know him. And while we can know something about his existence and character in nature, the detailed knowledge that's very important to have is what we find in God's Word, the Bible, to which we will turn in our next talk. Thank you very much for being with me in this talk, and may the Lord bless you.